Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Just a real dud of an afternoon in Houston. 9-2, the final score. The Astros just didn't even play that great. The Brewers definitely did not play to their standard. But it's just one in 162. Rubber match tomorrow with the Mets on the mound. Like the Brewers' chances in that one. But we'll break this one down nonetheless. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio, 855-616-1620. We'll get to the offense in a moment because it's not totally on them today. They certainly didn't play up to their snuff. They had an opportunity there in the fifth to blow this game open or at least change the complexion of it. Yeah, we'll talk about the missed replay review at the plate, but again, that's not the reason the Brewers lost this game. Brandon Sproat gets saddled with the loss in a day that, Craig, you know, in the last handful of starts, we've seen improvement. We've seen things that you're like, oh, hey, yeah, that's something that's getting better. That's something that's getting better. I mean, today the only thing that worked in his favor was the fact that there were no walks, but that's more because of the Astros being a super aggressive team. I mean, Sproat today, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned, no walks, 4 strikeouts, and 2 hit batters. And a 2-run homer by Jeremy Pena. I'm sitting here, you know, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt with the Quinn Priester comparison after his last start, saying, hey, look at the numbers after 10 starts comparing between these two guys, and they're pretty close. Quinn's numbers were slightly better. But to take as big of a step backward as he did today is a little alarming. And I wonder what's left on the drawing board right now for the Brewers to get Sproat back on track like they know he can be.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at his situation, Dom, you know, a couple of ways. First of all, this is a young pitcher that has a ton of talent, and the Brewers know it, and the Brewers are really giving him every opportunity to succeed right now at the major league level. The other part of the equation for me on all this is we've seen plenty of other pitchers in the past that have had this leeway before, including Freddie Peralta, who obviously had everything to do with why this guy is on this team right now via that trade. But I think the circumstances for this team are in the expectations and where they are with their development, and what they've turned into over the years is different from a guy like Freddie and a lot of the other guys before that too. So I don't think right now your leash is as long as it was for some of these other guys to have 2 or 3 decent starts, maybe 1 really good start, and then, you know, a couple that just start to go downhill, I think, like we saw today with Sproat. So I'm looking at this saying this is a pretty talented, deep, rich, filled pitching program here right now, and if he can't get over this hump, they have to make a decision pretty quick on this, in my opinion. But you say no walks, but man, those 2 hit batters were brutal hit batters, if you ask me, in the situation.
Yeah, the first one in the first inning, he was behind 3-0 on Trammell anyway, might as well have been a walk. But the other one was the last batter he faced in the game, going back out there for the fifth inning. Now, let's start there, because I had tweeted it when the fourth inning came to an end that the Brewers were nearing a crossroads. The game was still very much within reach, 3-1 through four. Then the Brewers scored 1 in the fifth. They could have added on more. They couldn't get the chance. But now it's a 1-run game heading to the fifth inning, third time through, top of the order due up against Brandon Sproat. Now, the Brewers' bullpen wasn't at full strength today. You figure you probably only get 1 inning max of Uribe and Ashby today. You probably didn't have Trevor McGill available today, because that would have been 3 out of the last 4 for him. And then furthermore, you look at the rest of this bullpen, a lot of them were used in the last couple of days. So I sit here and I think, the development comes on the edge of your comfort zone, right? And we've talked about it over and over about how much Brandon Sproat struggles once he gets that third, fourth, fifth up, that the velo slightly ticks down, the performance isn't great, and the numbers, quite frankly, Craig, are jarring. In the fifth inning or later for Brandon Sproat this year, and this includes the piggyback he had earlier in the year, Sproat in the fifth inning or later, he's now thrown 12 innings worth, so 36 outs. He's allowed 14 earned runs with 9 walks and only 8 strikeouts and a 10.5 ERA. I know they had to send it back out there because of the bullpen situation today. You have to find out, is he going to sink or is he going to swim? And today, he sunk. And today, it was, you know, a base hit up the middle, a ground out, and an 0-2 to 2-2 hit by pitch that ended his day today. They gave him the opportunity. He got Alvarez. He couldn't get Walker. He couldn't get Pena. And both of those runners came in to score.
So here, okay, so here's my thought process on this and you know, a question back. If the bullpen is even half as much as strong as you just mentioned, then you know, than it was today, do they still send him back out? Because I have a feeling they still send him back out to say, you can do this. This is part of your process. So are you gonna sink or swim, like you just said? Or with some of these other pitchers in the past, are they gonna protect the guy and say he did all he could up until this point? We don't want him to even start to face the batting order for the third time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've seen a lot of that in the past, and now we're seeing, okay, we're gonna send you out there. I don't know. See, I'm at a crossroads with what they want and expect out of this guy, to be quite honest with you. I can't quite figure it out all the way.
Yeah, I think the way that you look at yesterday's game, right? Coleman Crow, he got pulled out for 4 innings and only 2 times through the order because they had the fresh bullpen coming off the off day. If you're doing 4 inning starts back-to-back days and really leaning on your bullpen while you're trailing, by the way, you're really gambling, given the Brewers don't have another off day until next Monday, not this coming Monday. So they're in a little bit of a stretch right now where they're going to be playing a longer stretch of consecutive games after Thursday's off day. I should say, actually, it's not even until next Thursday, the 11th, is their next off day. So they're in a stretch where you have to be thinking about the schedule at large. It's their longest consecutive streak to this point in the season, 13 games in a row. And the way I see it, I mean, he had a chance to get Walker and to get 2 outs and to have a man on second in a 1-run game. I imagine they would have kept him in there against Trammell and say, go get it. You've got Alvarez. You've got Walker. Go get one more guy and end this on a good note and prove to yourself that you can do it. And he didn't. And quite frankly, I think for Sproat, the clock is ticking because Woodruff is due back. I am not putting any expectation on Quinn Priester's return right now, since they just transferred his rehab to a rookie ball in Arizona. But the clock is ticking because of the fact that if Chad Patrick continues to showcase as well as he is in the bullpen, he's going to get another chance back in the rotation. I think we're getting closer to that point where we have to have that conversation with Chad Patrick saying, hey, this dude started for you really, really well last season, or even a Shane Drouin. Get him out of this tweener role and get him back into the starting rotation, because the Brewers have depth to handle this right now. And as we keep saying over and over, it's a performance-based business. And the performance right now, a 6.5 ERA, is not good enough for a first-place team.
No, and 95 pitches isn't either. I mean, and that's where he's kind of sitting with things here right now, too. So, no, I mean, you're right about that. There might be, you know, a pitcher or two, whether you know, it's Woody, you know, just waiting in the wings, ready to get in there. But that goes back to my point, too, about the depth of this franchise right now as far as pitching goes. I'm not saying it's hugely rich right now, but it is pretty good, and they do have some options that they could potentially go with here right now. But, you know, the schedule does play into it, and it's a great point. I mean, this team has had a lot of days off here in the first 2 months of the season, and coming up here now where they're maybe a little bit thin in that starting rotation right now, they got to keep an eye on things. But, you know, the other thing, you know, you got to make some plays, and obviously that was a tough one for Vaughn that kind of extended that inning right there. And so, I don't know, Dom. We're just kind of at that point. You get halfway through the game, and it's like, can your pitcher get you another inning? Can you make a play? Can you score more than one run in that fifth inning when you got the bases loaded? So that fifth inning, as it turned out, and at the top half and the bottom half turned out to be pretty huge.
Yeah, and I also want to point out, I know Vaughn didn't make the play, and it was a tough play where he's bouncing off after holding the runner on, and he has to bounce back toward the bag, and it deflects off his glove. Terang made the smart move to try to throw to the plate. Both of those counts, the hit-by-pitch to Walker had 0-2, and then the single fielder's choice, whatever it was ruled, to Trammell was 0-2 as well. So all bets are off when you get ahead
That's
0-2.
true.
Those need to end in outs. And it's the big leagues, those need to end in outs, and they didn't. So and I just want to point out, as we move off of Brandon Sproat in today's 9-2 loss, this quote from Pat Murphy kind of agrees with what we're saying here, Craig. Quote, "I think today he took a step back. I don't think he was very good. We're not going to tolerate too many duds like this, that's for sure." I mean, that's the most pointed we've seen Pat Murphy be about Brandon Sproat 11 starts into his Brewers career.
Well, think about this: is it the last start? There were similar type questions to Murph afterwards, and he said, "No, we're absolutely sticking with this guy. We're not looking to replace him. He's in the rotation here right now. He's got a lot of upside, a lot of talent, which we all get. But that's the difference a start or two or three can make in a row is where you sit. It's still." Like Murph said after the game tonight, you have to perform and you have to deliver and you have to be ready and able to do that. And this, when a manager saying you take a step back, that is just not a good scenario or a potential precursor to what's to come. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think the Brewers understand that when Woodruff comes back, they've got some depth. Coleman Crowe has shown signs that he can maybe get you some outs. I still believe in Shane Drouin to be a starter, and I still believe in Chad Patrick to be a starter. But nonetheless, it's just one loss. They can still win the series tomorrow now. And it's not just on Sproat. The offense is in a weird funk. We'll talk about that, get to a few texts as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. A
couple of good perspective texts that have come in here. It'll be a little bit of our buy or sell here. Doug, no problem. Brewers will get 2 of 3 tomorrow. Hitting's got to pick it up, though. To me, the new lineup not doing the trick. This one from the 920. I already forgot about today. Looking forward to Miz tomorrow. We've got to talk about labor relations, salary cap floor. We'll save that for Brewers Weekly next week. Also, shameless self-plug, Service Time Podcast, a little side hustle action. We're looking back to look forward. Go check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And then finally, Chef Ed, the law of averages coming to play today. Very tough month of May is behind us for opponents, and the Miz can put us at 19-7. That's a good way to look at it, Ed. So with Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio, a little buy or sell right now. And the one thing that I'm buying is that the Brewers have not played their best baseball offensively. I think that they are certainly in a weird stretch right now. Yesterday, they didn't have a hit with a runner in scoring position. Today, they had just one, and even yet, it wasn't that great of a day offensively. They really shut her down and laid their weapons down after the sixth. The Brewers, with 13 games above 500, with first place in the division, they haven't played their best baseball yet, which I think is a really good thing to look forward to.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point. That's for sure. I mean, look, when you're thinking of this team right now, you're only thinking of starting pitching, really, for the most part, especially if anybody outside the state is paying attention to the Brewers at all. And that's fair. I mean, it's been, but offensively, I mean, no one's talking about this team at all. I'm not sure they know how many guys, name-wise are playing what position here at this point. But to be fair about that too, there are still a lot of platoon type situations going on here right now with this team, and really no one in platoons is swinging the bat really, really well right now. Plus, you still got guys like I'm looking at Andrew Vaughn today. He had a couple of base hits today, and his power just isn't quite there yet, and we all understand that. But that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to on this subject line of who can start getting hot and really start getting hot, as in driving in runs and getting you going. I think Chirio's in the same situation here right now. Contreras is kind of carrying the offense a little bit for whatever's going on here right now. So there are a lot of guys, I think, Dom, they're on the cusp of doing something. And then, you know, you've got that road construction. The orange barrels are still out on that whole left side of that infield when it comes to offensive production here right now. And that's, you know, that's kind of big here as well.
And the fact that Bryce Terang is 0 for his last 15 right now. I think he's dealing with his first real big slump of the season. And not only is he 0 for his last 15, in those games, he's got 10 strikeouts. So of the 15 outs, 10 of them are strikeouts. That's not Bryce. That's not what he's supposed to be doing. He is drawing walks in the meantime. But, you know, really since that home run against the Cubs into the baskets, it's been a weird stretch for him offensively. Quite frankly, he needs an off day. He hasn't really had an off day since he was dealing with that ankle issue back in the beginning of May, or in the middle of April, I should say, when he missed a couple of games in Fenway. Over his last 9 games, he's just 4 for his last 29. And I'm not saying Bryce Terang needs to carry your offense, but if Bryce Terang's hitting third, you got to put bat on ball. And I think Bryce, whether it be hitting second and you go back-to-back lefties with Yelich and Terang, or just giving Bryce a day off, so one of those things needs to be considered right now for Terang. He's lost, you know, 25 points or so on his batting average in this last 2-week stretch.
Yeah, and think about, I mean, still think about the mileage that he has put on when it comes to production going back to last year, when all of a sudden he just became this next star, you know, at the plate. Yes, he has carried a lot of the offense up until now, and everyone's going to have their slumps and whatnot. But this is also the point where you gotta find that other person. I mean, there's still 8 other guys in this lineup here right now that you have to take your turn. You know, you have to take your turn. Someone else in that lineup when somebody is down here right now. And I agree. I mean, Terang probably does need a day off. Sometimes it's best for these guys if they can package it up with that day off. But as you mentioned earlier, they don't have one again until a week from Monday. So you can't do that then. But even one day, you know, we'll see. But they don't have a lot of guys to pop in there and think, all right, day off for him. Who's going to deliver? Someone's got to deliver here right now. They're just at the point where they have too many guys that are just not delivering that you're counting on. And then some of the guys that you're not counting on are not doing it either here right now. So I feel weird talking about this, Dom, because this team really still is playing awfully well here in the last several weeks. But this was just a tough dud game, that's for sure.
Yeah, just a dud, kind of a snooze fest in the eyes of the Brewers. It's easy to overreact to a game like this and the pitchers that were used in it. But yet, you know, the Brewers, if they played well, like we've said this before, if they played well and they lost a game this way, like they had like 12 plate appearances with runners in scoring position but then couldn't get anything home, it's like, well, that's baseball season. Today you're sitting here kind of with like a, huh, that's not how they play, and that's how you flush it and move on a lot faster than maybe you would from other losses. There's 162 of them for a reason. You're going to lose at least 60 of them. You know, 100-win season, you still lose 62 times. All right, so let's, you know, put it in perspective, put it in the toilet, and move on. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. So step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. Well, I want to give a quick shout-out to a guy that doesn't get a lot of love, and that's Carlos Rodriguez. More on that after this on 620 WTMJ.
Is Brewers Extra Innings.
Who's Hot, Who's Cold, brought to you by Solder Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Solder makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Solder, SEIDER.com today. Families helping families since 1912. Look, I just want to, it's not necessarily who's hot, but and it's not you're not going to think of Carlos Rodriguez in maybe after the transaction inevitably comes tomorrow, correct, Sean? But he just went 3 1/3 innings. Yes, he gave up 3 runs. 2 of them scored after he had exited the game because of Jake Woodford giving up the homer to Christian Walker. But he just went 3 1/3 innings, throwing 77 pitches cold out of the bullpen. Quite frankly, this is the brutality of baseball for a pitcher with options. He's going to get an option at AAA tomorrow for a fresh arm. And whether it's Easton McGee or Brian Fitzpatrick or Craig Yoho for the first time, whomever it may be, comes up. Rodriguez has to go back down. Rodriguez has now spent, you know, 125 or so plate appearances in the big leagues. Roughly 110 of them have been while the team is trailing. And it's not necessarily his fault. I just want to give a shout out to C-Rod here because, again, he kept this bullpen intact for tomorrow. You've got everybody back and ready to go with McGill, with Ashby, with Uribe, whoever you want to use tomorrow, behind Miz, and what's hopefully a big blowout for the Brewers. I just want to take notice that sometimes when we get into these stretches of the season when you get a dud, small little diamonds in the rough are the ones that Carlos Rodriguez provided going 3 1/3 today in mop-up duty.
Yeah, absolutely, and a great call there. And the numbers that you just mentioned with him, too, when he pitches, you know, with the team down or the lead, obviously that's a huge discrepancy there. But, you know, we talk about it all the time, too, Dom. He could serve a big role before too long. You just don't know how a season is going to play out. And the fact that he is, you know, he's logging games like this for the Brewers and you know that they're making him understand how important he is to this organization right now. You don't measure things at the end of the season when you're a team like this. You measure things as you go along and what he did to get them either through this game or into tomorrow. So that's huge stuff for him. He did a great job, and it's too bad, you know, those inherited runs scored on that home run. But you know, Rodriguez is also, you know, at a point here right now where, yeah, he's probably going to get the, you know, sent down, but you know, we're going to see him again, here probably before too long. Great job here tonight. You got to give him kudos for what he was able to accomplish and, you know, look forward to the Miz going tomorrow for sure. I mean, he basically set this team up for a chance to still win this series tomorrow and still be in great pitching shape.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And on the Jake Woodford front, I see some clamoring about social media. Hey, I hate to be blunt, but here's the truth. There's a reason why he's pitching in a 6-2 game in the ninth inning, okay? And quite frankly, the Brewers are dealing with injuries in their bullpen. Jared Kandick should be back hopefully in the next 2 weeks. Rob Zastrzyzny, I don't know what they're waiting on with him. Then you've still got, when Logan Henderson returns from this back issue, however long it takes for him, he might be a reliever moving forward as well. So when it comes to those reinforcements coming back, that's when Woodford, who is out of options, might be finding himself looking over his shoulder a little bit. But again, today is not a day to be complaining about who pitched in the game. The Brewers scored 2 runs. That's the cold part of this argument. It didn't matter who pitched in the game. The Brewers scored 2 runs. You're not going to win many Major League Baseball games doing that.
No, obviously not, for sure. And they had a great comeback win yesterday. I mean, they didn't lead in that game yesterday till they had the lead in the bottom of the 10th inning. So, you know, as much as we're saying tonight was a dud game, last night we were saying they kind of stole one. You know, maybe they didn't deserve to win that game. They only had 4 hits in that game. But this is the greatest thing about baseball. You don't know what the storyline is going to be every single game, but you know you're going to play a game every single day for the most part. And the beauty of it is you're never going to play the same game twice. So we saw it last night, we saw it tonight, and you know, tomorrow, hey, Miz could throw a no-hitter for all we know, right? Who knows?
And he could throw a no-hitter, and he still might not win Pitcher of the Month for the month of May, right?
I mean, yeah, no kidding.
Because Christopher Sanchez hasn't allowed a run in the month of May. It's kind of crazy. And it's like, I hope he throws a no-hitter tomorrow just so we can have that debate. It would be an all-time debate for an award that absolutely means nothing. But we just like to have bragging rights. But how cool would that be? Jacob Mizrowski throws a no-hitter tomorrow with, say, 10 punch or whatever. And his month is, you know, 5-0 with a 0.15 ERA. Only allowing 1 run in 50 or so innings. and he loses to the guy that went 44 innings without allowing a run. I mean, it's fascinating what we could see tomorrow with Miz.
Yeah, it is. Well, look, I mean, it's fascinating every time this guy's out on the mound here right now. This has been, and I know you share the same sentiments, this has been truthfully one of the more special months that I've ever witnessed from a pitcher in Brewer history. And we're only in the month of May, and this guy's priming up big time, you know, for a hell of a run down the stretch here. It's been just pure entertainment. He's been dazzling, and I know he's going to bring more tomorrow. So it'll be a fun one.
It will be. All right, Craig Kishon, appreciate you as always. Bring a W with you tomorrow, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Dom. Thanks.
All right, we'll keep looking around the league, give you a player of the game, get to Pat Murphy's comments as well. Not many highlights to play, but we'll talk about it in the recap on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
That good. So call 262-56.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today by a 9-2 final score. I'm Dom Catronio. It's hard to pick a player of the game on the Brewers side. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Vaughn had two hits. They were both singles. William Contreras had an RBI double. That's about it. Yeah. On the Astros side, it's pretty easy to pick somebody like Jeremy Peña, 3-for-5, 3 runs scored, including a 2-run homer. And the controversial, you know, challenge at the plate that I want to touch on here. Again, it's not the reason the Brewers lost this game, but it did lead to 3 runs being scored in that inning. I just, to set the stage, it was a base hit into right field, and Jake Bowers comes up throwing, ready to get an out at the plate, and instead of the inning ending, or at least instead of it being a runner on first and 2 outs with an out at the plate, instead the inning continues and it leads to the 2-run homer for Jeremy Peña. I know the call on the field was safe. I understand that. But every replay that we watched did not show for certain whether or not Cam Smith even touched the plate, at least before Williams' tag. There was not a single replay that I say, sit here and go definitively, his knee, as it was above home plate, touched the corner of the plate. Because as he was sliding to the backside of home, and his hand was trailing behind him. The tag went right into his chest. I did not see a single video view that said that his knee touched the plate. I understand the call on the field is what you revert to when the call stands, okay? But you got to give me some transparency here, New York. You got to show me this is where he touched home plate. I think that's just as important. I understand the call on the field is what ultimately happens, but you do still have to kind of look like, well, did he ever touch home? Because I don't think he did. And I'm not saying that's the reason the Brewers lost this game, but you got to get it right. We got to figure out a way to get replay right because it's still getting messed up. I think the call on the field shouldn't matter. Watch it on the screen. Tell me what you see. And I think everybody in the ballpark saw out. You can tell by the fans, right? When the fans are reacting and they go, oh, right? There's no video because everyone's sharing it on the Jumbotron. If everybody, all 35,000 in the ballpark are saying, oh, yeah, he's probably out. And then you get a call stance. Oh, okay, wow, awesome. Like, these all level out throughout the season. I just wanted to rant about it because it's ridiculous. I want a report. I want to see, like, where you saw it. What did you stitch up? Because the NBA, as you can say what you want about the NBA, we're going to watch a Game 7 tonight between the Spurs and the Thunder. The NBA officiating count's a really good account. They tell you why a call was made. Maybe you may or not disagree with it. The Twitter mob comes after it, but I appreciate the effort for transparency. That's all I'm asking for here. I think that's all that any fan is asking for here. I don't know how you can call that safe at the plate when he never touched the plate. Anyway, moving on. Pat Murphy coming up next as the Brewers fall 9-2 to the Astros. Rubber game tomorrow at 1 o'clock at 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
We'll have another pregame show tomorrow starting at noon. Brewers warm-up leading you into the On Deck Show built by Menards. 1:10 first pitch. The Miz against Tatsuya Imai on the other side for Houston. So that's tomorrow. But what about today? Pat Murphy talking about the replay review we just talked about. And, of course, about Brandon Sproat as he addressed the media after a 9.
He took a step back. I don't think he was very good. He was behind in the count all day. He's got electric stuff and didn't execute pitches. And still, you know, we had a chance to stay in the game. And then we gave him a chance to go out and rectify it. And, you know, yeah. And then C-Rod came in and gave us what he gave us all he had, 3 1/3 innings. That's really a positive thing. But, yeah. You can't give up 9 runs at a game, expect to win. Our offense wasn't very good, and we had opportunities. A tough call at the plate. I think the video evidence is pretty clear that it was. We felt like he was out, and it went to stands. We really didn't understand it, and we still don't understand it. But that happens. There were a couple things that could have changed the game right there, but yeah, I don't think he was very good today at all.
From what you know, that they're getting angles in New York that we probably don't have privy to. Do you think that's how sometimes when we're looking at the board, it looks like he's clearly out, and they say he's safe? Well, is that what
we have? 5 different angles.
You got 5.
We have 5 different angles today, but again, we've had this happen before. Yeah. You know what I mean? They got to make a decision. And they make a decision. It went against us today. So that's part of it. That's part of it.
How much do you think, Murph, that changes his outing? Just extending that inning, the homer, and does that derail him?
I mean, it's like anything else. It all could derail you, but it shouldn't. You know, you should be able to minimize the damage and do whatever. But. Yeah, that wasn't, you know, still a 3-2 ball game in the 5th, you know, and we're talking to him, get him past 80 pitches and all that kind of stuff. Well, then go ahead and do it, son. Yeah.
Does it, you know, you've been adamant that you want him to stay in this position here and keep starting. Does it make you rethink that at all?
Well, I mean, we're not going to tolerate too many duds like this, that's for sure. I mean, if he's not going to step up and we're trying to win. You know what I mean? We're not rebuilding. We might be using some young pitchers. He doesn't have quite the experience that some of the other guys have. And, you know, he's done some really, really good stuff, like I said. So it's not like he's not going to get another chance. It's just he took a step back. I thought he took a step backwards today.
I agree. I think Brandon Sproat knows that too. He addressed the media saying, I just got to be better, and it's not good right now. And he knows it. Everyone knows it. It's got to be done one step at a time. I thought Tim Dillard said it well over on the telecast. You can't shout at a seed for it not being a flower. And he is 14 appearances into his big league career. He's 25 years old. He has time to figure things out. But is it better to figure out in AAA? That might be a question that is going to start to be approached here. Maybe by the end of next month. But we'll figure that out for the next time he appears, probably against the Giants next week. But let's recap this game, tell you about what went wrong as the Brewers fall 9-2 to the Astros on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Get ready for the Milwaukee Panthers. They're getting ready to go in the winner's bracket game against UCF here in a little bit. In fact, they just got underway. 1-2-3, top of the first inning against the UCF Knights. Now it's time to hit. The Panthers are the home team in today's matchup. Auburn survived earlier this afternoon, so they will be potentially awaiting the loser of this game, and then maybe Milwaukee's into the championship round of that Auburn regional. But now back to the game that the Brewers played today. It got off to a good start. I mean, it felt like, okay, you get another 2-out run in the first inning off a starter. Brewers were cooking properly thanks to William
Lambert
Contreras.
Brings home the pitch, and a liner out to left. Going back on it is Trammell. It's over his head. It's going to one-hop the wall. Terang on his horse. He's around third. Here comes the play at the plate. Terang slides in there safely, and the Brewers strike first here in Houston.
But the offense was slow to arrive. A three-run second inning for Houston, aided by that aforementioned replay review and a two-run homer from Jeremy Pena. That made it 3-1, but the Brewers mounted a rally in the top of the fifth inning, which was the key frame. It all started with a leadoff walk to Garrett Mitchell, but then with two outs, a walk to Christian Yelich, a single up the middle for Jackson Churio would make things
the pitch,
interesting.
And a liner into center coming in is Myers. He won't get there. It'll drop in front of him. Around third is Mitchell. He's going to score, and now the throw gets away from Walker on the infield, but not far enough for any further advancement. It is an RBI single for Jackson Churio, and the Brewers get one back. It's 3-2 Houston.
That would be the end of the highlights, though, because the next batter, Terang, he drew a 9-pitch walk to load the bases for William, and it was the last opportunity the Brewers had with a runner in scoring position on the afternoon. William would ground out to short to end the frame. They would only have one more hit the rest of the contest. And in the bottom half of that fifth inning, Brandon Sproat had the wheels come off. Carlos Rodriguez could not get off the bus quickly enough. He got ahead of Trammell 0-2, gave up an RBI single. That was the weird play with Andrew Vaughn knocking the ball down and getting by him. And then the RBI double from Isak Paredes. You blink, and it's another three-run inning for the Astros, aided, of course, by the two-strike hit-by-pitch to Walker and the leadoff single by Pena. It was 6-2, and then a three-run shot in the ninth, or in the eighth, I should say, off Woodford, made this the final score of 9-2. Not a lot to write home about today for the crew, but we all get to watch The Miz tomorrow. We'll preview that matchup and say goodnight after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Last few minutes of the show now. Tomorrow, again, on the air at noon for a 110 first pitch, Jacob Mizorowski on the mound. And we'll preview that pitcher of the month race in the National League. Sanchez does not start tomorrow. He doesn't make another start until the month of June, so his numbers are locked in. I don't know what it'll take. I really don't. Maybe it will be a no-hitter. Maybe it won't. But I wonder what we're going to see in the lineup tomorrow with Tetsuya Imai, because he's been a bit of an anomaly so far since joining the Astros coming stateside. He's the first time they've ever signed a Japanese free agent. The acclimation process has not gone great for Imai. He's got a really unique gyro slider, meaning how it moves, but he also has one that moves opposite. He's really weird. I'm just very worried. He doesn't really throw a splitter. Four-seam or sinker, and this weird slider is his primary offering in this one. He gets a lot of swing and miss, but he also misses the zone a lot. He has an elite ground ball rate as well, and again, coming off of a combined no-hitter against the Texas Rangers earlier this week. Then the Brewers come back home for the San Francisco Giants and the content factory that is the San Francisco Giants and Tony Vitello. And by the way, his former team, Tennessee Volunteers, they just got bounced in their own regional. They just got bounced 0-2 in the regionals. So they're done. Tony Vitello's team is 13 games under 500 in the big leagues. And they just got walked off last night by the Rockies. Brewers will probably see Logan Webb. He pitched great yesterday despite the loss. But Logan Webb will probably get the ball on Wednesday or Thursday against the Brewers. That's a four-game set for the Giants coming to town this week. Then it's a quick road trip, a quick homestand right back on the road to head back west. The Rockies and the A's in Vegas is the upcoming schedule for the crew. A quick lap on our way out the door looking at the out-of-town scoreboard. Big series in the Lou, Cubs-Cardinals. Yesterday, the Cardinals won 6-5. They are leading 1-0 right now in the bottom of the fourth inning. Kyle Leahy against Ben Brown. The Pirates, they won the series against the Twins 10-9 today in an offensive affair. Spencer Horwitz and O'Neill Cruz with homers in that one. And then the only other divisional team I should mention, the Cincinnati Reds, they are trailing at home to the Braves 3-2. Martin Perez getting the start for Atlanta. Brady Singer for Cincinnati. Ellie De La Cruz has a triple. J.J. Blade, what a story he has been. Rehauling his swing. He has been maybe the best hitter on the Reds since he got called up. He hit his ninth homer of the year for Cincy. Other games to keep an eye on later tonight: Dodgers, Phillies in LA, Mariners, Diamondbacks in Seattle, and then also the Yankees are in Sacramento taking on the A's. So tomorrow, 1:10 first pitch, and then they're right back home to follow that. So we're looking forward to that series. And again, a reminder that we had a great Brewers Weekly on Thursday. You can check that out. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. That subject was about the series sweep over the Cardinals. We heard from Aaron Ashby after his ninth win, Chad Patrick after going 4+. Also, Garrett Mitchell and the adjustments he's been making at the plate seem to be sticking right now for him, having a good stretch of offense the last week and a half or so. But yet, another conversation about the Brewers of what they are trying to figure out with their farm system right now. I imagine we're going to see a roster move tomorrow to help out this bullpen. Still awaiting the appeal decision on Abner Uribe and the Hingle McCringleberry triple thrust, whatever they want to call it. We will find out probably on Monday the status of that appeal. That is going to do it for our program here today. We're right back on the air at noon tomorrow. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow in a rubber match with the Astros. Until then, keep on swinging.